to In Him with Pastor Dan Wormuth of Joplin Family Worship Center, located on East 7th Street in Joplin, where they are passionate about sharing the freedom and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Dan with this week's edition of In Him.
I ask that you just jump in with me. Three dimensions of his resurrection presence. Say presence. Three dimensions of his resurrection presence in our lives. I want to look at the golden text. If you don't mind, let's just go to Joshua 1 and 9. My Lord. Just trembling under such a sense of the presence of the Lord today. The word of the Lord to Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You need to help me prophesy to the person next to you and say, for the Lord your God is with you, says the Lord, not me. The Lord is saying this. The Lord is saying. Okay, look at Isaiah 41. We have to get this leveled in our heart. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. Reading from the Amplified. For I am with you. Do not look around you in the terror and be dismayed. So there's the Lord saying, set some guards in front of your face. Want to look at the Lord. Looking at the Lord. This is really important. Fear not, for there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around in terror or be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen and harden you in difficulty. Someone needs to know the Lord wants to temper the metal of your resolve so that you are strong. I mean strong like those Japanese swords that they fold sometimes 3,000 times in the heat of the metal until it is so sharp it cannot be broken. Do you hear me? He will harden you to the difficulty. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Someone say righteousness and justice. He is with you with righteousness and justice. Matthew 28 and 20, my last golden text. And we'll just look at it because it's important too. And this is what it says. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. This is the end of this chapter. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he says, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And behold... So he has just given us a discourse of what he wants them to do and how he wants them to walk. And he says, behold, I like it. I am with you. And that's a capital I and a capital AM in my Bible. I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly. Did you see that? The Amplified wants us to understand what it means when he says, I am with you. It means all your days. Not one day more than another day, uniformly. You ought to just nudge your neighbor and say, I never saw that before. He wants to be with you in the same strength every day. On every occasion, somebody say, every day, every situation, everything come your way, he is with you. To the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be. I just want to ask you today to embrace the power of his resurrection presence in your life. When the stone was rolled away, unveiling God's glory, the Holy Spirit has come to manifest the unveiled presence of God in our lives. And that power and presence is to be revealed on a daily basis in your life and in mine. Three dimensions. I want to bring your attention to two. I'd like to unpack the third one. Can I do that today? Number one, in me. Say it out loud. His presence in me. Did you know that when you came to him as Lord and Savior, his presence came into you? Know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So when his presence comes into me, it is the communion of the Lord in relationship. There's my verses that go with it. You can see it. This is really important for us to just let it be settled truth in your heart today. The presence of the Lord in me. In me. Are there any classical Pentecostals here? I didn't say snake handling. That's a whole different breed. If you were a snake handling one, I don't want to know. I don't want to know that's your skill set. I just don't want to know. But if there, are there any classically raised Pentecostals around here? Just wave at me. Any classical Baptists around here? Any classical Lutherans? What do you mean classical? I just mean you were raised up in that thing. Is there anybody here who you found your way? You started in one and went to another and went to another, and then here you are. Where are you at? Ah, are there any ex-heathens in here today? Okay. If you're a present heathen, just want you to know, there's only two kind of people in this room today. Them that are saved and them that are about to get saved. Did you hear me? Somebody help a preacher out today. The presence of Jesus in me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved. He's in you. How many of you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So that's one dimension. But the second one I want to point out to us today is it's the presence of God on us. Now, I have him in me. How do you know? He bears witness. Y'all gonna have to, you just have to pray for me. The presence of God is strong. There is something God is doing here. He wants you to know his presence in a way you have never yet known. You classical Pentecostals, we were raised. How many of you had a drug addiction? Your parents were drugging you to church. They drug you here on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. They drug you to every Bible quiz meeting. They drug you. Okay, so you know what I'm saying. My mom and dad had a drug problem. They just drug their children everywhere. The church doors were open. Classical Pentecostals, you understand. But just because we was in church didn't mean the presence of God was in us. But one day, he come a knocking on my door. Oh, I would watch and see how his spirit moved. But I remember the day that he knocked on my door and I opened up the door of my heart and he came in and now his presence lives in. Then there were moments where his presence came on me. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? The presence came on you. You were in a service and it just like it fell like fire. And then it bore witness, shut up in my bones, just like fire. Shut up in my... So when you felt the presence of the Lord just kind of come in a special way. Could have been a slow song. Could have been a fast song. Could have just been somebody walked by you who had been praying, fasting, seeking God, and they were carrying something on them. Do you hear me? Carrying something on them. I like it. So the presence of God on me is for the communication purposes. You and I are called to communicate. Some of us are better than others at it. We're called to communicate. We need the presence of God on us so that we can communicate. That is the revelation. Bear with me. That's revelation. He wants to reveal himself to others. There are people who carry an anointing. Catherine Kuhlman carried an anointing. Oral Roberts carried an anointing. Do you hear me? Great. Howard Carter carried a strong anointing. Smith Wigglesworth carried such a strong and Lester Sumrall, Dr. Sumrall, who was the chancellor of our Bible school when we were growing to school. He carried a strong deliverance anointing. The presence of God was in him. I remember one Sunday, I was in my own church playing the piano for mom and dad, but they said when I got to school on Monday morning, they said, you should have been here yesterday. I said, what? They said, this crazy old woman come running down the aisle with a knife in her hand saying, God wants a sacrifice. And she was running for the pulpit to kill Lester Sumrall. She only got about halfway and the security hadn't gotten to her yet. And he said, stop in the name of Jesus. Come out. And she fell like a dead woman right there in the aisle. And then he commanded the spirit to come out of her, and several come out, and she was set free. They said he put her on the front row, and she was fresh and clean from that demonic oppression. And came to the altar and got saved. All I know is I wished I had missed that Sunday morning at my church to see that one happen. Are you hearing me? The presence of God on us. I've walked by people who, you know, they just carry. And then when they start talking, when Reverend Prophet Lola Bird would just come by our church, she carried an anointing. And are you hearing me? So, but listen, in me, say in me. On me. But there's a third one I want to unpack for a few minutes. Someone say with me. Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, there is a with me dimension that I want to unpack for just a minute. Why? Because the with me is the confirmation of his presence. It's the release of the kingdom of God in earth as it is in heaven. You and I need him in us. And there's a lot of folk who have received Jesus as a savior and they have him in them, but they have yet to step into that next dimension of him being on them. But there's a whole nother dimension that Jesus wanted us to encounter, and that's the encounter of him being with us. Can I unpack it for just a second? Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 3, and also verse 23. The Bible says this, that the Lord was with Joseph on the auction block, being trafficked. Sold by his brothers into slavery. The Ishmaelites brought him down, sold him. Joseph is standing there with nothing but a loincloth, if that. They're looking at slaves that might be worthy of reproducing other slaves. They're looking at marks or scars, and they're trying to find out what's the best slave for me to own. But my Bible says that while Joseph was on the auction block to be trafficked for whatever their purposes were, my Bible says that, I'll tell you what, let's look at it. Let's put our eyes on it. Just put your eyes on Genesis chapter 39 with me and look at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the chief, an executioner of the royal guard in Egypt, he bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. But the Lord was with Joseph. So there are times when you find yourself in the least of desired positions or places, even on an auction block to be sold into slavery. The Bible wants us to know that the Lord God was with him. I need to know if you could just go ahead and let the Holy Ghost take you back through some of your memories to when you were in the darkest moment of your life, going through the greatest struggle you had ever seen. Could you take a moment and just look to see where the Lord was? I remember when the young woman who had fractured, her personality was fractured because of the horrificness of the abuse in her life. And when we were ministering to her, we were able to help her find where Jesus was in the most horrific of moments. I will save you the distraction of telling you all of the details because they are hard. But God created this brain that when it can no longer bear with it, what's that term? Yeah, not block out, but just the different components of the brain, different personalities, compartmentalization of the trauma. And then what appears to be different expressions of personality, not the demonic, just the parts of her, the part of her that was strong. We thought they were twins. They weren't twins. They were the same woman. And I think about how God was with her when Pastor Cindy was praying with her and just said, Jesus, would you show her where you were in the middle of all of that horrific? And he was so gracious and kind to show her. He was with her and he was crying. He was crying at what she was going through. And it gave her hope to know that it grieved the heart of Jesus of what was being done to her. Don't shake your fist at God. You might end up dead in the desert. Madeline Merle Hare. There is no God. There is no God. There is no God. And dead in the desert. Are you hearing me? But in that horrific moment, Jesus showed up and revealed to her that he was with her. And I just need to ask you a question. If the Lord would be with Joseph, some time has passed now for Joseph. He's no longer on the auction block. He's been working for Potiphar and he's done very well. But Mrs. Potiphar, Potiphette, she had a scheme. Look at your neighbor and say, watch them scheming. She had a scheme, and her scheme landed him in prison. This is an injustice. Injustice is not a new term. It's not a new revelation. Joseph was in an injustice situation. He was in prison for something he hadn't done. But the Bible says here in this verse 23 that the Lord was with him. So even on the auction block and even in the prison, the Lord, if the Lord is with you, you're going somewhere. I wish somebody would help me. You're going somewhere if the Lord is with us. The second component of this with me is 1 Samuel 3 and 19. The Lord was with Samuel. It tells me this, that not one word of Samuel, not one prophetic utterance of Samuel fell to the ground or failed. Israel and the enemies of Israel were afraid of Samuel. Because when he spoke the word of the Lord, it came to pass. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord be with you. And my response then to you is, and also with you. The Lord be with you, and also with you. That's we want the Lord to be with us, not just in us, not just on us. Because I know some people who, they would feel the presence of God come on them for a while because somebody else prayed a price. I'm really preaching good. Some folk will get a blessing because of your having been in the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord on you can affect them. But when you walk away from them, they no longer feel it. But there is something about the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Samuel had the Lord with him, and every word he spoke came to pass. In Psalm 23, verses 3 and 4, can you just go there with me real quick? We'll just take a peek at it because I like how the Amplified just breaks that out. It says, he refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, not because I earned it, but he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake. That's with us. Look at verse 4. Yea, yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. How can you fear or dread no evil in a dark, dark night of the soul? When you are aware it says your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. I know is, Stephanie, I could tag you right here and you could preach this. When you were walking through the valley and you set your faith to believe that God was willing and that he would, and he preserved him, you could testify, Jesus is with us when the storm clouds gather. He was standing by your side, even when you heard the thunder roll. He held your hand and Patrick, Keegan. I just know today that the Lord is with us in a way that you and I are going to need now in this time and season of our life. This song was so appropriate for us. It is a new season. Look, the Lord is bringing us to the greatest time of harvest. The greatest revival has begun. You're going to see greater and greater outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. This is that season, ladies and gentlemen. It is the season. Say it's the season. His rod is a protection. What does that mean? That means the good shepherd says when he sees the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy, the Lord takes his rod and he drives away the enemy. Do you hear me? He dispatches the enemy. The rod of the Lord comes to protect. Now, your neighbor might think the rod of the Lord was coming to beat them, because they had missed it in some area of their life. But I need you to understand, the good shepherd right here is telling us that the rod is for protection, not correction. So you classically raised folk in church, you might know that they tried to use the rod of the word to correct us. But the Lord says the rod of the Lord is for protecting us, because he's with us. And then his staff, it guides and comforts us. And that staff is the staff that he walks with, and he pushes back the debris, and he marks the place and the territory, and he marks on that staff the journey of your life. Your life is marked. Your victories are written on the staff. They tell the story of your life, and it comforts me to know that he's been with me all along. Now I got to go to my last point, because it's just A, B, C, D. Are you ready? Acts 10:38 tells us that the Lord was with Jesus. When Jesus, well, we'll just look at it, because it's worth laying your eyes on it. Go there with me. Acts chapter 10. We'll look at verse 38. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him. God was with Jesus. And Jesus is telling us something really important. Look at chapter 4. Let's just go back a little bit. Chapter 4 of that same book, and look at verse 10. See what it says. Let it be known and understood by all of you, by the whole house of Israel, that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, in him, by means of him, this man is standing here before you well and sound. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you, the builders, which had become the head of the cornerstone. And there is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which men and in which they must be saved. For when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter, and Peter was an uneducated man, and I have a great appreciation for the stewardship of continuing to learn and grow. Education is important. Peter, though, was not cast aside because he did not follow that path. This fisherman is now full of something. What does it say? They perceived that these unlearned, untrained in schools, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. My Bible tells me, if I continue to look at these passages of scripture with you, we would discover Jesus in us, Jesus on us, the whole armor of God, Jesus with us. How? Well, he said, listen, boys, it's very necessary that I go back to the Father, so that if I go, I can send another comfort. He who is called the Comforter will be with you, on you, and in you. This passage of scripture that we just looked at, they knew they had been with Jesus. I wonder if people can see your life and recognize that you've been with Jesus and that Jesus is with you. My prayer is not, Lord, be with me. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, just be with me. Help me in this situation. Have you ever prayed that? I've prayed that a lot. I'm changing my prayer. I'm not going to pray this, Lord, be with me, but rather, Lord, make me more aware. Do you hear this? Our prayer, not, Lord, be with me, but rather, Lord, make me more aware of your presence that is already in me, on me, and with me now. When Bill Johnson was sharing a message about the presence of the Lord and hosting the presence, one of the things that he talked about was that at the baptism of Jesus, when John was there, the Bible says and records for us that the heavens opened and John saw the Holy Spirit coming down out of heaven and resting upon Jesus. He describes it like this: I saw the Spirit descending like a dove. He wasn't calling the Holy Spirit a bird. He was saying, like a dove comes and lands ever so gently and rests upon him. Through the life of Jesus, in his ministry, he carried the presence of the Holy Spirit with him. Bill was talking about how every day he wants his life to be lived in such a way that he's conscious, cognizant of Holy Spirit with him. I wonder what might happen for you and me if we were just to, on purpose, pray more of, Lord, make me aware of what you're doing right now in this moment. There's lots of distractions going on. There's the fear of wars and rumors of wars. They're trying to mess with our kids. All kinds of shenanigans going on. But can I be more aware of his presence?
Thank you for listening to In Him with Pastor Dan Wormuth of Joplin Family Worship Center. Listen to this broadcast again at KNEO.org. You can also download a podcast version of today's message by searching KNEO on iTunes. Joplin Family Worship Center is located on East 7th Street in Joplin and has ministries for all ages. They invite you to join them this week for Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. Find out more at jfwc.org or facebook.com/Joplin Family Worship Center. Follow Pastor Dan on Twitter at Daniel H. Wormuth. Thank you for listening. And remember, in him, you are free.
The world is in chaos. You're here for a purpose. What does the Bible have to say about it all? I'm Mark Taylor, host of Crosspoint podcast and radio show, and I'd like to invite you to join me each week as I navigate the complexities of faith, culture, and personal growth. Each week, I interview a different guest who is making an impact on the culture for God's kingdom. Whether you're seeking spiritual guidance, true information, or a fresh perspective, this podcast equips you to discern truth in today's chaotic world. When Christianity intersects with everyday life, that's where you'll find Crosspoint, sometimes discussing the issues that some churches don't want to talk about. Look up Crosspoint with Mark Taylor wherever you get your podcast, produced by KNEO Radio and the Sky High Podcast Network.